This podcast is brought to you by the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, ACAM for short. You can find more podcasts and other resources on our website, www.acamh.org, and follow us on social media by searching ACAMH.
Hello, welcome to the In Conversation podcast series for the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short. I'm Jo Carlo, a freelance journalist with a specialism in psychology. Today I'm interviewing Kath Kitchen. Kath is a head teacher of a medical alternative provision academy and project manager for the Department of Education, project training AV1, which is a telepresence robot. I also have Zoe Johnson here, who is joining us via the robot she used to access school that she called ZoeBot. Welcome Kath and Zoe, thank you for joining me. Kath, can you start with an introduction about who you are and what you do?
Thank you, Jo. I'm head teacher of hospital and outreach education. We're a medical alternative provision academy. We provide educational support for children with medical and mental health difficulties who can't attend school full time. When they come into hospital, we would provide educational support for them there. We provide education in schools, in homes, in the community and at our outreach centre, basically trying to minimise the impact of a medical or mental health condition on their schooling.
Great, thank you. And Zoe, can you introduce yourself too?
Yeah, hi, I'm Zoe, I'm 18. I have an illness called ME, that basically means my body doesn't produce enough energy to do basic daily activities, so I wasn't able to physically attend school. I used AV1 for about a year and was able to do 5 GCSEs because of it.
Great, and what are you studying now?
Currently I'm studying A-level history and psychology, not through the AV1, I decided to go to an online school for sick form.
Great. Kath, you are the project lead for this Department of Education Alternative Provision Innovative Fund project, training the telepresence robot AV1. What or who is AV1? And as some people will be accessing this through the podcast, can you describe AV1 for our listeners?
So, yes, AV1 is what we like to call warm technology. Mm-hmm. And I think when you see AV1, you would agree that because everybody goes, oh. So AV1 stands about 27 centimetres high. It weighs about the same as a bag of flour. Okay. So it's not heavy to transport around. And it consists of a body, I'll put that in inverted commas, mm-hmm. with a speaker, two-way speaker in it, and a head. The head lights up and there's a small camera in the top part of the head in which we get a live feed which is end-to-end encrypted from the classroom back to the child's iPad or Android device.
And it looks like it has two eyes.
It does actually. The eyes are ornamental. They don't actually have anything to do with how the live feed is streamed. And the people in the classroom cannot see the child at the other end.
Right.
The eyes simply, actually it came from some feedback from young people, is that they wanted to show their friends how they were feeling. Mm. So a bit more sort of personality. They were very keen to say that the AV1 represents the child. That's why we don't personalise it. So there are happy eyes, sad eyes and puzzled eyes, which also tell the teacher how the young person is feeling or whether they might need some help.
Okay. And is AV1 the first of its kind?
As far as I know, yes. And the technology that it uses, the end-to-end encryption, one-way live feed, is certainly patented and not used anywhere else. There are other telepresence robots being used, but they are completely different.
Okay, being used in schools.
They are being used in schools. So there's a pilot at Oxfordshire Hospital School using one called the Double Two, which looks a bit like an iPad on a Segway,
right.
But you see the child on okay. the iPad. Mm-hmm. And for some children, they don't want to be seen. Mm-hmm. If you're undergoing chemotherapy, for example, you don't want all your friends to see you.
Okay. And Zoe, how much can you see via AV1?
Yeah, so I can see pretty much everything in front of me. I could see the teacher in front of me who was teaching a class. I can see the whiteboard and what he writes on it. I can also turn the head, which is pretty cool to see, to look at other areas in the classroom and my classmates and people.
Would you want to give a little twirl and face
Oh, yeah, hang on.
What are you coming around towards me? I can't blame you. But
so it could go all the way around 360, I think.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Great,
yeah,
amazing, thank you. Kath, I've read that some 72,000 children have long-term illnesses, which equates to an empty desk in every sixth classroom. What is the impact of long-term illness on a child's educational chances?
The interesting thing about the data is there is no data. Oh, that yes. is a guess. The data that's collected at the moment by the Department for Education really just is about medical and illness. There's no breakdown, no analysis of long-term medical needs, and it's something actually we feel quite passionately about, as we feel this is very much a hidden cohort, that people don't even know the impact of this. Missing school, particularly at crucial times in your life, is absolutely critical, not only for educational outcomes, confidence, self-esteem, but where you learn all those social interactions, you develop those friendships, you miss out on that. And it's a bit like having a double whammy. So not only have you got a serious illness, but also you can't get into school. And it may mean you can't take the exams you want to, you might get moved groups, you might lose your friendship groups. So it's really like a loss of several different things, all from something that actually is not your fault.
Right. Just focusing on the social then, what impact does it have on a child when they are forced to miss large amounts of schooling due to ill health? How does that affect their social life?
It's very, very isolating and lonely. And I think when young people are first off school, their friends are quite good at keeping in touch with them. And then they're not quite sure what to say or what to do, and gradually that tails off. You can't meet them at the cinema, you can't go for a coffee, you can't do all of those other social activities, and actually they just stop asking you anymore. Mm. And the impact of that, again, is you feel very isolated, very lonely, can obviously affect your mood and your health and well-being. And actually our experience shows us that children become very anxious about returning, because they haven't got any friends, they don't know the teachers, they don't know the classes they're in. So again, that makes that much more difficult. And actually, some children don't want to get well because they're so anxious about going back to school. So it has a really significant impact on their sense of belonging and connectedness.
And how does that impact mental well-being? What happens?
Well, again, it can seriously impact on their mental well-being. If you, and we know about, you know, ways to keep ourselves well is about being out with friends, being out and about, being able to experience all of those other social interactions. If you can't, you're more at risk of depression. We've seen young people develop ritualistic behaviours, obsessive compulsive behaviours, really high levels of anxiety, not wanting to leave the house. So they're at much more risk of developing those kinds of mental ill health than if they, you know, if they were in school.
Right. Let's turn to AV1. So as we said, AV1 is a telepresence robot. How does a child or young person with a long-term illness use AV1? So can you describe how the robot becomes their eyes and ears?
Zoe, do you want to answer that one a little bit?
Yeah, sure. It's a really cool piece of tech. It sits in the classroom in front of the teacher and the whiteboard, just like every other student in the classroom. You connect to it from a tablet or iPad at home. It basically acts as you during the lesson, so it streams a live feed of visual and audio, everything that's happening in the classroom, straight back to you. You can also turn your mic on your side and talk and ask questions. There's no screen on the robot itself, which is useful if you're too unwell and you can't get out of bed one day and you don't want to broadcast that to the whole class.
I think the most powerful thing is it does become the eyes and the voice of the child. And it, what's really interesting is when we're demonstrating it or doing work, when the child's voice comes from the speaker, it's hugely powerful because everybody thinks it's going to be some sort of robotic voice, but there isn't any doubt that it's not the young person there. And they're there, and they are virtually present in the class. And we've had quite heated discussions with the Department for Education Attendance on how you mark a child that attends through AV1.
Oh, and how do you?
Well, there's lots of discussion. Their interpretation is the child must be physically present in the class. And my interpretation is, but they're not being educated off-site. So actually, they're working with us collaboratively, absolutely brilliantly, and thinking about maybe they need a different mark for attendance for telepresence robots, which is even more exciting.
And when the voice comes out, what kind of reaction do you get from the other pupils the first time?
The film clips I've seen are the novelty is like, oh wow, because it's clearly that young person. I mean, what did your friends say, Zoe, when you first went into class with it?
Yeah, they thought it was very cool because, it is just a really cool piece of tech. It was a bit confusing at first because it's not the normal way of getting an education. So, but yeah, it's new and interesting, and yeah, they were all very interested in it.
And I think that, sorry to interrupt, the interesting thing is young people are not freaked by tech like those older ones like me. They just, the novelty, and then they completely accept it. So young people we've spoken to in the same class as a young person who's using AV1 just see it as the child joining the class. Mm. So they're part of the discussions, they're part of the work, they participate in the group work, and I mean, very often we encourage them to take it out of break time so you can have all those conversations about the latest gossip, which actually is much more interesting than what's going on in your class, if we're honest.
Indeed. So did that used to happen, that you would be taken out into break time?
I was never taken out to break, but I went to a couple of assemblies. There was like a school pantomime the teachers put on, and they took me into the assembly room for that to watch. It was really cool.
Great. And Zoe, can you describe what it felt like when you used to participate and socialise through the robot?
I'm really sorry, my mind has gone blank.
Don't worry. How old were you when you were using, you call your robot Zoebot, is that right?
Zoebot, yeah.
So how old were you when you were...
So I used it for my GCSEs. So okay. I started in year 11, I think. Mm-hmm. I'd previously used online lessons to do my GCSEs, but there was a mix-up with the curriculum that they were teaching me, which they only realised a few weeks before the exam, which wasn't great.
No.
So I, for the last little bit of year 11 and beginning of year 12 as well, I used it to attend history lessons a few times a week to catch up on the work I'd missed. And because of that, I managed a grade 9 in history.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, that
yes.
So I definitely wouldn't have got that without the other one. So, yeah.
And you were enabled to, because you'd reformed those friendships, you were able to go to your prom, weren't you?
I was, yeah. In person as well. I'd saved up enough energy to go in person, which was really nice. Reconnecting with my the old friends that I'd known there. I wouldn't have wanted to go to prom because I wouldn't have really known people there. So that was really great.
And I think we underestimate the importance of those events. So we've had young people, one young person was a shepherd in the school play through AV1, for example, getting invited to birthday parties because they're not forgotten that they're there. All of those social events are really important. And if you think back to your school days, you don't necessarily remember the classes, but you do remember the events like that.
Absolutely.
So, and we have got some people using them for extracurricular activities, going to the zoo, going to the local supermarket. So it just means that they're able to participate much more fully in the school curriculum than they would be otherwise.
So how would it work on a school trip? I saw a video clip of AV1 in a supermarket trolley.
Yes.
So if it was a trip to the zoo, for example, how
So, depending on the age of the students, think about a trip to the zoo would probably be a primary activity. We've had a primary teacher use one of those papooses that you put newborn, you know, babies in, and put AV1 into the papoose and have AV1 facing out. So they're actually able to look out. Other times, AV1's been in a backpack of one of their peers, so they've been able to participate in that way. And the school staff, who are really inclusive, are so clever and so creative in what they do and how they manage to include the young person through AV1. I'm constantly in awe of their ideas.
What about in the classroom? So if the young person using AV1 wants to raise their hand to answer a question, how would you do it via AV1?
Right, so do you want to just demonstrate? Show us if you want to ask a question.
Oh, sorry, my mind's going blank.
Within the app, there's several different icons that you use. If you press on the hands up one, which is just a flat hand, you will see the head lights up and starts to flash. And that tells the teacher that the child wants to ask a question. Could you do some puzzled eyes as well for us, Zoe?
Yeah.
Lovely.
That should be a confused one.
Those are my favourite eyes because of the physical eyebrows. But it means that the young person's not got to shout to attract the attention. If you know the answer to a question, you can put your hand up and participate in the same
way.
Or if you need a bit of extra help, you can do it that way.
Because you might feel inhibited.
Yes.
To shout.
Yeah.
You may have already sort of shown this in part, but how do you use AV1 to convey mood? Is that through the eyes?
It is through the eyes, really. So you've got sort of laughing eyes. I'm going to ask you to do a demonstration of eyes now, Zoe, if you wouldn't mind.
So this should be on happy at the moment. Then I've already shown you the confused ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then there's that one.
Okay, what's that one doing? And so that's kind of blinking. Okay.
So you've got... really laughing eyes, which look like they're crinkled up.
Right.
And then you've got sad eyes, if you're feeling a little
Let's see the sad eyes. So they kind of droop.
Yes.
Yeah.
So everybody goes, like that. So, but that came from feedback from young people, because the original AV1 didn't have any expressions. But young people said, no, we want to show our friends how we're feeling as well as speaking to them. So...
Okay, and are teachers generally receptive to noticing?
I think so. I think there's a little bit of training to be done on what they mean. So there are some posters that go in the classroom that tell the children and the teacher what the different expressions mean. Because it's hard for me sometimes, if I'm looking, I'm like, is that happy or is that sad? Because you're just doing a quick glance. It's not always easy to tell.
And how are the teachers trained? And other pupils, and also the user. How?
I think trained is probably the wrong
word.
But they go through like an induction. So we would take the AV1 and an iPad or whatever the young person is using out to the young person, so they can see when they swipe their finger how the AV1 works, how they can move the head up and down, what the different apps do, so that they can see exactly what's going on. And then within the school, we would explain to them, you need to do things like, you need to plug it in overnight and not let the cleaner unplug it. Hey, Zoe.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
It's been very frustrating.
And taking it to the class where best to position it. Mm-hmm. And also there's quite a bit of work to do with the schools for them to understand that we're not recording them. Mm-hmm. Nobody else is watching them. It's not being used as a tool, as an extra lesson observation, that it is one way, end-to-end encrypted, so it's not recorded, and it's very secure, and it is about the young person engaging with them. No Isolation, the company that produce AV1, have produced an onboarding guide for schools. Okay. They also have implementation managers that talk to the IT people in schools, because sometimes that's, you can connect it to the school Wi-Fi, and that requires that tech knowledge, which not always teachers have, but the IT people do.
And AV1 has a whispering option, is that right?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah, so you can change the volume of your voice when you want to talk or ask a question, which is great if you want to be heard depending on the noise levels in the classroom. So this is normal speaking volume. There's also whispering. I'm not sure if you'll be able to hear this, but we can give it a go.
Okay.
This is whispering, if you can hear that.
Yeah.
And then there's really loud. So
come on, give us really loud, Zoe.
This is really loud.
Yeah.
And that's all within the volume control. And the idea is that, you know, if you are doing group work, you're not, they're not dominating the whole of the classroom. But also, if you are talking to the rest of the class, you've got a big voice that you can use.
Zoe, what benefits have you found as a result of using the robot?
So as I said, it helped me reconnect with friends who I hadn't seen for a few years. I'd been out of school for quite a long time by that point. I was able to go to prom, which was amazing. And going back to lessons through AV1 meant that I was able to get really great results in my GCSEs, which I was absolutely not expecting. So, yeah.
That's amazing. And Kath, what impact have you seen with regards to the use of AV1 and how it helps young people?
I think we've been really quite overwhelmed by the outcomes. Mm-hmm. And without sounding glib, it literally has been life-changing for some young people. The ability to be able to remain connected to their home school, to remain connected to their peers, to be able, like Zoe said, to get that expert teaching in subjects that maybe those of us in other alternative provision can't necessarily offer that level of expertise, with a teacher who knows you, who understands you and everything else. It's absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, there was some comment about, oh, well, children won't want to go back in then if they're able to go in through AV1. But what this is showing us is the children actually are keener to get back in, to be back with their friends, because they can almost see what they're missing.
Right, they're much more connected.
More connected. And one young person we've got using it, who's got very complex medical conditions, he's driving his mum around the twist saying, come on, hurry up, I need to be back in school, I need to be with my friends. So it's been marvellous. And even for children with life-limiting illnesses, who have sadly passed away during the time of the project, the parent has reported on the quality of that child's life. You know, because for them, for that little bit of time when they're in school, they're just another child in another class. No one sees all the treatments. Mm. And the children in that class, for them, it becomes quite the norm. They're connected, you know, and they can chat to them and everything else. So there's none of that, if a child passes away regretting, oh, I wish I'd have gone to see them, or because you remain connected right up to that time.
Right, so they're fully engaged.
Fully engaged.
How are the benefits of AV1 being assessed?
Well, that's very interesting. Because it's one of the 9 Alternative Provision Innovation Fund projects, there are certain data sets that they are collecting. Nothing that would surprise you, age, key stage, ethnicity, if they have an education healthcare plan, if they've been permanently excluded, etc. They're also collecting attendance data, attainment data in maths and English, and they've got a social and emotional well-being scale that they're using as well. But for us, we're trying to gain as much data as we can, as widely as we can. So we're collecting some case studies. Yeah. We're looking at the different types of medical and mental health difficulties that AV1 might be good for using with. So, you know, we thought we might be able to say, oh, they're excellent for children with cancer, but not so good with children with depression. But actually what we're seeing is there is no division there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing in terms of key stage or age, or, you know, it's been quite surprising because you can't help going with a few preconceived ideas. Attendance is doubling, so we're seeing significant increase in attendance, significant increase in the ease of transition, and we're using our own social and emotional well-being scale, and it's showing significant improvements across the board. So from home back to school. Okay. Some children who are having to go in and out of hospital use AV1 whilst they're in hospital, and rather than, you know, they might be away for 6 months if they've had a bone marrow transplant, but it means as soon as they're well enough, when they get home, they're like, oh, I can just get straight back into school because I know what they've been doing, I know my friends are still there. So you've got, what it really does is minimise that anxiety about returning to school.
And is there any data? You said there was attainment data. Is there any outcome data on what attainment's been like? And also outcome data on well-being and mental health outcomes?
So the attainment data, they're looking at progress in maths and English. And if I'm absolutely honest, we do collect the data, but actually we're not that interested in it.
Yeah.
What the data is showing us is actually children are keeping up with their peers and they're maintaining their levels, which I think is amazing if you've got any complex health condition. What we're most interested in is the impact on social and emotional well-being. And some of that comes through a scale, but some of that is coming through our case studies where young people, you know, as Zoe said about her GCSE, we had another young person who turned up at his GCSEs and just said, I wouldn't be here taking this exam if I hadn't used AV1, and now is well enough to go on to college. So those kind of impacts we want to try and capture as well. How does it help the parent to remain connected to the school? Because you know that going to the school gate and all of those common chats, you miss out on all of that. How does it help the children in the class? And what are the longer term outcomes? So if you're unable to do your GCSEs, can you go to college or sixth form? And I thought, naively, 2 years would be plenty. But actually, I just feel like we're just starting. So we have got some data, but there's a lot more that we're really interested in that isn't part of the project, but we are still collecting it because we've got a great opportunity to be able to do that.
Sounds amazing. AV1 was produced in Norway. How long has it been in use in the UK, and how widespread is its use? And do you envisage it being rolled out more widely?
So the London office of No Isolation opened in September 2017, and the first AV1s went out just after that. And I think they were mainly either bought by individual parents or were bought by charities. I met them first of all in April 2018, just before the project, and as part of the National Association for Hospital Education, of which I'm a director, was able to pull together a bid with lots of different partners. There are currently about 300 out across the UK, 90 of which are from our project. The others, again, are from charities or independently bought. There are around 1,200 out across 13 different European countries. Our longer-term aim is we really feel strongly that every child that could make use of an AV1 should have equal access to it. So we hope that it will start to be more widely used. On one of our jobs at the moment, with only 6 months left in the project, is to think about the sustainability of this. So we're looking for other funding partners, which is why the evidence and the data is so important to us. And what are the longer term benefits? What could we say? But how lovely to say it didn't matter where you lived in the country, that actually if you were like Zoe, got ME, chronic fatigue syndrome, but your local authority didn't have any AV1s and you didn't have a service like hospital and outreach, you know, there's somebody you could ring and say, I'd like to use an AV1, and you'd go, no problem, and there it was. So that's kind of like our Yeah. Pink sky, pink glasses kind of vision eventually. But the data is showing us that they are very successful. They are working. They don't work for every child, and we accept it's not the panacea. It doesn't replace human contact, but it is a solution, and it's one of the menus that I feel that local authorities should have to support children with medical needs.
So where can teachers, parents or young people go to get more information on AV1 or to find out how to get access?
So the best place really is to go onto the No Isolation website. I think it's noisolation.com. That's got all of the information. It's got also information about the project and where the AV1s are in the project. So they're as far north as Manchester and as far south as Bristol and all sorts of different places. So you may be able to look to see if you are geographically placed. You can contact them. They obviously can't give them out free because they are a company. They can be hired.
Okay.
And if you hire them, it works out something like £8 a day. So we're not talking about thousands and thousands of pounds, but within the project, if we've got any sat in a cupboard, we are more than willing to help people out. But obviously we've got a finite set of resources and being really careful to keep within the parameters of the funding project. That's the best place to go and to ask the questions.
Right. Thank you. Kath and Zoe, is there anything you'd like to add that I haven't asked?
Do you want to add anything else, Zoe?
Not that I can think of. I was just going to say, we have a sort of motto in this house, there is always a way. Being ill is pretty rubbish, it takes a lot away from your life, but education shouldn't have to be one of those things. Mm-hmm. And now because of AV1, it doesn't have to be.
Great, fantastic. And do you have a takeaway message for those listening or watching our conversation?
I think for me, it's about not forgetting these children with medical and mental health difficulties. There was a report produced by the All Parliamentary Committee called The Forgotten Children, which is about children in alternative provision with several recommendations. And I would say that the children with complex medical and mental health difficulties are not only forgotten, they're actually invisible. They've got an equal right to a quality education, and to enable them to fulfil their full potential. So I would just say to everybody, just don't forget about them.
Thank you. Kath and Zoe, thank you for joining me. For more information on Kath Kitchen and AV1, please visit the ACAM website. That's www.acam.org and Twitter at ACAM. ACAM is spelled A-C-A-M-H.
This podcast was brought to you by the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, ACAM for short.